He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome, everybody, to the Lakers Lounge. I'm Anthony Irwin of Lakers Daily, joined by Raj Kripalu. The plan is for Raj to come on the show, or the plan going into these playoffs. I was really excited that Raj, like, you know, is down to do all of these post-game shows. So that's the good news, right? Is that, like, Raj is going to be doing these shows, you know, with me live after all of these playoff games. The bad news is that there's only going to be three more of them.
Stop.
The Lakers tonight had Anthony Davis match Nikola Jokic's production, went toe-to-toe with him. There was a stretch there where I thought AD kind of checked out a little bit. I think that was kind of – that was just a brutal stretch where he shot a couple of those three-pointers and stuff. And look, like, I don't want to – I want to be absolutely clear. The Lakers lost this game because of D'Angelo Russell, and we'll talk about him here in a second. But when you look at the difference between, like, the Lakers beating the Nuggets in 2020 and now losing nine straight to the Nuggets, the major difference there between those stretches of games is that in 2020, Anthony Davis was a great three-point shooter in that series. And, you know, that part of his game is now kind of gone. But, yeah, like I said, this game was on D'Angelo Russell. This game was also on, I thought, Darvin Ham. I thought he did a really poor job in this game, second half. And while Denver made their run, I didn't think he did enough to kind of organize things. I thought LeBron pretty clearly tuckered out, which was kind of crazy to see. I thought his legs kind of gave out on him. But, like, it's funny, Raj. I went into this one. I didn't have a great feeling going into the series. Predicted that the Nuggets were going to win in six, and that was giving the Lakers enough credit to go out there and win a couple games. But this is like a demoralizing loss. Like this loss hurts a lot more than I anticipated this loss would hurt. Are you feeling the same way? And if so, why? Like, where do you think that is coming from?
I think where that comes from is, number one, the expectations. And our process, Anthony, was excellent in the first half. Everything, I remember both of us when we were doing the Denver preview with Sabrina, I think my main point was, look, last year, if you go rewatch those games, which I did, it was really our stars unable to match theirs. That was really what it was. That's what it came down to, even with the struggles of Darvin Ham and D'Angelo Russell being put it nicely, removed from the series by Bruce Brown. Like, it came down to our stars not being good enough. I thought tonight they were. You talked about AD kind of finished slow and LeBron got tired. I think the demoralizing part is AD looked like the best player in the world tonight. He was going up mano a mano with the guy who's actually the best player in the world, and he played him even outplayed him, depending on who you ask. Jamal Murray had a terrible shooting night. He was cold for most of this game. I thought LeBron at least outplayed him. You had two of the three best players in this game, splitting Jokic in the middle there. I think that's why it hurts. This feels like a very much missed opportunity to me. You were up 12 going into the half, and I remember I was on Playback Live, and I said, you have to close this half out strong. You can't get nothing for this half. And LeBron's three had a little bit of a shot to the arm, but by that time, Denver was rolling. And the thing that I'm most disappointed about is Denver punched back, and we completely adjusted. We started with Rui on Jokic, and we can get to the details later, but Rui was on Jokic, and I thought he did a fine job. Jokic was like 11 for 16 at one point and scoring well, but I thought we at least had their offense shut off in its movement. But we stopped scoring, and then you brought up D'Lo. I'm shocked. I mean, you were preparing me for this, as were other people were. I have a little bit more of a, like, belief in of a redemptive arc, I guess, in terms of just how players work, and usually guys
because you don't watch movies. Normally you get that belief from like watching movies. It always happens in movies. It doesn't happen in real life. No, it doesn't tend to happen in real life. It, like, that's the kind of shit that you see in this, like, there's like really inspiring music behind it while the redemption is actually taking place. there was no inspiring music during this.
No, there wasn't. Nothing was playing. But the shocking part to me, I can live so like obviously I have a lot more grace for players, which is obvious to anyone listening to this show. But like I can live with a cold shooting night. I can live with not playing well. I can't live with chucking shots. And there was a point in this game, I think it was in the second quarter, D'Lo shot an air ball. And we were like still up by 6 or 7. And I made a mental note of that. Like D'Lo is not a guy who shoots air balls. And it was clear the crowd was starting to get to him. Denver was starting to get to him. And you could see him continue to just get more and more lost in his own head, where he forgot he was on the court playing a playoff game. Before the half, he had a turnover coming up the court, throwing it nonchalantly to I forgot who it was, and it got turned over, and MPJ hit a three on the other end. It's just, I think that's why it's so disappointing and why we have the tone that we do right now, because it just feels like you played your best hand, and then the Nuggets had a joker, no pun intended. Like, they had a card that you could not beat. And I think that's why it feels so demoralizing. You used your best shot. Denver really didn't throw their best shot. Jamal Murray still in the cards here. MPJ had a really quiet first quarter and really second half. KCP didn't turn up until the second half either. Had 4 threes, I think, in the second half. It's just, I feel like we played a really good game, and you still, like, this game was close technically, but it wasn't really. After the half, you were really, like, you got outscored 32-18 in the third quarter, that which includes a 10-0 run to close the second half, to the second quarter. So this game wasn't as close as even the final score indicates. I think that's why it feels so sad right now.
This is where it's tough. Like, obviously, look, I'm not saying that my job is tough. Like, I'm not working construction in 116 degree weather or anything like that. This job is like a dream gig. Do not get me wrong here. But this is where it's like our gig or my gig can be kind of frustrating, because I think, like Raj, you watch a ton of non-Lakers basketball because you love basketball. Sure. I watch so much non-Lakers basketball because, like, back in the day, I hosted a national show, right? I hosted Locked On NBA weekly. And I've those habits that were ingrained in me never went away, because I think there's so much value in seeing what other teams are doing, right? Like seeing where the Lakers need to get, depending on the goals that you have set for this Lakers team, right? When you have LeBron James, you have Anthony Davis, the goal is championships. That's how you measure yourself, right?
Sure.
And that's why I hold the Lakers to such high account. That's why I have such high expectations of the Lakers, is because I know what they're going for on a night by night basis, right? Or a season by season basis. And when I was like as angry as I was at the deadline that the Lakers didn't do anything and didn't trade D'Angelo Russell, it's because I've seen D'Angelo Russell play in the playoffs. Everywhere that he is gone, by the time that team gets eliminated, he is not on the court in important moments because he's not a playoff player. He isn't, you know? And I hate, by the way, I, when D'Lo was drafted by the Lakers, I had to I was considered a stan, right? It's funny how long that, like, you know, how these things kind of turn. D'Lo is a really, really fun player when he has it going. And he is like absolutely enthralling when his shot is falling, right? But he's also like absolutely useless when he plays poorly. And tonight, like, in order to be as bad as he is defensively, right? We always talk about this. You have to be incredible offensively. And so tonight, when he was devastating offensively for the Lakers, and then he's also not great defensively, that's why, Like when you look at like the 16 win players, right? That's what the, or the 16 game players, right? What makes those players like stand out in those games is that they have really high floors and also really high ceilings, but their floor is super duper high, right? And like with D'Lo, his floor is in fucking Tartarus. Like his floor is so far down there. And tonight it was really clear that, that like Darvin does not want to lose D'Angelo Russell again in the series. Like it was really clear tonight that they were going to do whatever they possibly could to make sure that D'Angelo Russell is not lost in this series, or if he is going to be lost, it wasn't going to be as early as it took place last year, because it was really evident last year that, that D'Lo was not going to work in that series. And it took a little while, like you said, it's for decent reason that it took so long to bench him, but eventually you had to bench him. And tonight, sure. I thought that they should have benched him. They should, like, I don't care if you lose him. If D'Lo is so mentally weak that you get lost by being benched on a night that you played this poorly, then you shouldn't be in the fucking rotation. Like he shouldn't factor into your expectations going into a series. It drove me insane these last few days when people were like, well, D'Lo has to play better than he did last year. No, he doesn't. He doesn't have to play better. We saw it just now. He doesn't and have to play better.
But the bar was in hell. Like the bar, I tweeted it in the first quarter today. D'Lo had 3 baskets in the first quarter. He had a mid-range jumper. He had 2 layups. That was his average from last. Like that's how easy it is to get to his average. I said he already reached his average in the first quarter. Just really quick on your trade deadline point that you were making there. The thing is, I get it. Like, I think there's a middle ground there where you can bench D'Lo in a way where it's not disrespectful to the player, right? Like, we talked about the Brandon Ingram stuff. Look, Brandon Ingram got benched in the fourth quarter. That's one thing. It's another thing to start a whole nother player to start a second half, right? There's a way you can bench a player without embarrassing him. The whole point, Anthony, we got 2 guards back. We got Spencer Dinwiddie and Gabe Vincent post-trade deadline. That's the whole point of those 2 guards being on the team. I've said it all year, and the Lakers have been kind of shy about this, but I'm not. They are D'Angelo Russell insurance. That's just what they were. There was no reason to play D'Lo 40 minutes tonight. I don't know what we were proving. I don't know what we were trying to get going. Maybe Darvin was trying to get D'Lo some momentum going into game 2. I don't know what it was. It's very clear he was very disengaged mentally, and that's just a character attribute that he has in these type of games for some reason. But that's the whole point here, is that we had 2 players that could have replaced him that were honestly playing better than him, at least defensively. They were contributing in other ways. Gabe, I don't think, took a shot tonight. Dinwiddie, I think, maybe took 1 or 2 shots. I don't have the box score in front of me. But like D'Lo playing 40 minutes is like, that was just unnecessary and inexcusable to me. So just
also 40 minutes of high usage minutes, right? Like he had the ball in his hand so goddamn much. And like you know, I walked out of the so we were doing playback for the second half, right? We were on All Access Lakers for the second half. And by the way, this loss is on me, because A, I was wearing a jersey at the beginning of the game, but I didn't want to wear a jersey on All Access Lakers. I don't want to be that guy.
Why not?
I just like I don't need those memes. And then like, did you see the image that I put on YouTube? One of like the thumbnails on YouTube, cause like you can't control thumbnails really on shorts, on YouTube shorts. And it's me like kind of looking up into the sky. And I have, cause I had what is it called? It's like a minor stroke, like a really, really a TIA, when I was in high school. And so I have a lazy eye as a result of it. Right. So I'm like looking this way. My 2 eyes are looking this. It's just like, it's a disgusting picture. So I'm like, that's enough memeage. I don't need any more memes of me today. So I decided not to wear jersey on the air. But like, we're on the air there, and when we're talking amongst each other, it's really easy to get like sucked into that conversation and not really like lose sight of everything else that's going on. That is not in the conversation that we're having. And so I Jen is in our bedroom and she's kind of getting ready for bed. And she was watching the game too. And she's like, yeah, they were saying that Austin was really quiet in this one. And I'm like, it didn't really dawn on me that he was quiet because he just had no opportunity. It was sure. play after play after play after play, whether it was the Lakers calling it to get D'Lo going or D'Lo calling his own number so that he could stay engaged. But it was play after play after play after play, and it was empty possession after empty possession. And I know, like, BK from Locked On is you know, was saying to me today or just now, you know, they aren't empty possessions if they're good shots. I'm like, they aren't good shots. He was going one-on-one against Aaron Gordon in one of those. The three that, like, ended the game, ended it. Any chance that the Lakers had, basically, was like a motion sidestep three.
Trying to draw a foul.
Guys guarding him, you know, when he's trying to guard draw that foul, that isn't going to be rewarded in that spot, you know?
No.
And that ended the game. The Lakers, I think at that point, were down by six or eight or whatever. Yeah. And like, you know, you have like a glimmer of hope there that you could maybe make this thing a game, maybe cover, you know, something like that. But no, like, he takes that shot. Denver comes out. I think KCP makes a three, and that's it.
Yep.
Game's back up to a 10-point game, and the game is over. And again, like, I know that these, like, Darvin Ham is probably going to say these series are marathons or something like that. Whatever fucking idiom he's going to use. Like, at the end of the day here, the Lakers basically, like, wasted a game in which Anthony Davis went toe-to-toe with the best player in the world. You got a bad shooting night from Jamal Murray. Aaron Gordon was in foul trouble early. Peyton Watson was in foul trouble early. You had everything go in your direction in the second half. You had everything you could possibly ask for, realistically speaking. And you lost it by double digits because your point guard short circuits in every tough series, in every tough setting. It always fucking happens. And that's why, like, I know people are saying, like, well, the Lakers couldn't find a deal that was worth it for D'Angelo Russell. You just need him off your roster. That's it. Like, he's a negative presence on your roster.
Yeah.
The longer that you, the more likely it is that you play a good team in the playoffs. D'Lo can't play in those series. That's been the case his entire career.
Yeah, that's so tough. And I know I told you this on Playback, and you and Rome, and you guys like, it doesn't matter. I know that. I understand that he had an awesome regular season, which no one wants to hear right now. But the whole point of that is that, again, you have replacements for him. Like, there's no reason.
That makes it so much worse. That's like, isn't, like, you don't just have Spencer Dinwiddie in this series.
Yeah, you also have Gabe Vincent, who honestly played. You had Gabe Vincent who played well tonight. I thought Gabe Vincent did a nice job on Jamal Murray. I thought he chased him around ball screens. Jamal Murray's going to hit contested twos and contested threes, but there are places where if you just want defensive subs, you can. Anthony, you bench Rui tonight. Like you bench Rui Hachimura, who had four shots.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
I think we'll get into that in a little bit, but, like, that's my point here, is that you had subs for him. Now, the sub for him was Torian Prince, so, like, I guess that's an easier sub for Darvin. I just want to go with there's two moments in this game. The first play of the first half. Coaches always say that, and if you hear coaches speak, they always say the game's a flow sport, right? Really, the plays that you call are out of timeouts in the first play of a half or first play of the quarter. Those are really where coaches really get to diagram a play out of a timeout. First play of the first half is D'Lo on a switch against Aaron Gordon. I think you mentioned it. One-on-one, dribbles through his legs twice, step back, mid-range. I'm like, and D'Lo's like 1 for 6 or 7 at this point. Yeah. It's just ridiculous. And the other one is what you're talking about. Down 7, we forget. It's coming out of a timeout. We come out of a timeout from this play.
LeBron in the corner.
And so we ran out. D'Lo brings it up. LeBron runs to the corner. And I can't wait to rewatch this game. Not for those reasons, but like to just go back and look at LeBron's face at this moment, because we come up, AD sets a screen on the left side. I don't remember. I think it was Torian who set a screen on the right. D'Lo decides to just go off one of the picks, and he thinks he has someone on his back, and he fires a three in no rhythm. And like you said, MPJ comes down and hits a three on the other end and ends the game. It's just, you look at the box score and it's so tough. I hate singling out one player for a game, because like a game is long. There's a lot of like multitude of like reasons why you lose. D'Lo's 6 for 20. Anthony just stands out like a sore thumb when you look at Austin's attempts, Rui's attempts, AD and LeBron. I don't even think touch D'Lo's shot attempts. It's just like, I don't know, Darvin's trying to win. Like, what's the saying? Like, lose the battle to win the war. It's just, this is not a long war. Like, you don't have many battles left. You only have, to me, you have two battles left in this war to, if you have a chance to win. And I thought you needed to take this one. So really really disappointing, really disheartening. You get another shot at it Monday, which is nice. Only one day off, but Yeah, those D'Lo's possessions, Anthony, so perplexing, especially when you have other guys who are playing well that you trusted. Dinwiddie's closed over D'Lo in games. Gabe has, I don't think Gabe has yet, but Dinwiddie has in the regular season. It's just, it sucks that Darvin went with this and went with this.
Well,
tonight.
It was such a refrain back to some really bad habits right there, because, you know, at the beginning of the season, the starting five, like basically the Lakers lost that game with the starting five from the beginning of the season on the floor, right?
Mm-hmm.
You had D'Lo, Austin, Torian, LeBron, and AD out there in that fourth period where like a run was kind of made. You get back kind of close to it. And the whole time that they're on this run, or they're like just kind of fighting to stay like close, the whole time they're there, it's like, just take D'Lo out. Take D'Lo out, put Rui in there, and you can have Austin, Torian. Like LeBron should have the ball late in the fourth quarter anyway. Like you don't need D'Lo's creation, especially if every like the only thing he's creating is opportunities for himself that he's blowing, right? Missing layups. You mentioned the air ball. There was also a dead ball situation where the Lakers were shooting. If you're looking at the TV screen, they were shooting on the left side of the court, and D'Lo gets the ball, you know, maybe it's like 3-4 feet behind the 3-point line. And, you know, he fires up a three there, and it catches the front of the rim. And if you see a player, like if a well-rested player miss short, it's a confidence thing. Like if they miss short consistently, it's a confidence thing. They're aiming the ball, right? That's how that goes. And you know, the air ball that he had tonight, right, was short. It was not a confident air ball. It was one of those shots where he like barely does the follow through or anything like that. And like, I don't know, man. Like we have a comment here from David saying, you know, what are you talking about? We can't win without D'Lo. He sucked tonight, but who is better? David, you're better. The Lakers, like Raj is saying, the Lakers have options. The whole reason that you brought in Spencer Dinwiddie, and they tried so hard to get Gabe up to speed. He didn't play in the second half. So like those games that they were kind of like, you know, were either closer than they needed to be, or they lost because, you know, Gabe goes out there and isn't scoring, but you're being patient with him because you're trying to get him up to speed for the playoffs and for Jamal Murray. That was all for naught. That was a waste of time. That was a waste of everybody's time, because he didn't play in the second half while D'Angelo Russell was playing a terrible game.
I just want to clarify really quickly on something. So with David's point, I do think that Gabe Vincent and Dinwiddie are replacement options, especially late in games for D'Lo. I've said this many times here and other places. There's no winning this series without D'Lo being competent. It just doesn't exist to me. D'Lo's averaged 18 points. Again, I know no one cares about regular season numbers, but my point is what the team has relied on getting to this point and how they're going to beat a team with the tools that they have. Yes, 18 points a game on 42% from three, Anthony, on like good volume from three. He's really only high volume 3-point shooter. He doesn't have to be a great shooter every night. He also can't be a zero, though. And he also can't chuck when he's not hitting. Like that, those are three things that really destroy us and put us in a hole. So there's no, like, yes, there's other options, and you can sub in Gabe and you can play Rui and play bigger. There's no winning this series if D'Lo is just terrible in all, you know, all five, six game, whatever, you know, the series.
That was
turns
part
out
of the math that everybody was doing when they were predicting that the Lakers could make this, you know, like I was texting back and forth with Pete today. Mm-hmm. We put our beef aside, our temporary beef, you know, we put it to the side to talk about the series. And we were, you know, we were texting back and forth, and he made the point that a lot of other people were making, was like, D'Lo can't be as bad as he was last year. You know, he has to play better than he did last year. Like he has to be capable of being better than he was in last year's series. And it's like, does he have to be like, is that a choice? Cause like, you know, he chose differently tonight. And again, like, I don't like saying this about a guy that like, I legitimately do root for D'Angelo Russell. Right. I really like all the stuff that he says about being a father. Like that stuff is so cool to me, how like having a kid recenters you and all the stuff. And it, you know, realigns your priorities in a way that, like, you know, you're playing basketball. And at the end of the day, it's easier to play basketball when you know, when you get home, that there's going to be this kid who doesn't give a shit about whether or not, like, his kids tonight have no idea that he played really poorly. And that's, like, really centering stuff, right? If I have a really, really bad show or something like that, when I wake up in the morning, my son is going to be, like, screaming at me, daddy, 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 car, 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 car. And, like, it's a, that, that's, like, that's life stuff that, like, him contextualizing that and speaking to it is legitimately really cool. I've really been rooting for D'Angelo Russell to figure things out this year, to make up for it, to have that redemption arc from last year's series. The problem is, like, this is how it goes with D'Angelo Russell in the playoffs. Like, I had Wolves fans saying, "Oh yeah, must be April. D'Lo needs to be benched." I had Brooklyn Nets fans saying, "Yep, yeah, we've been here before. We've experienced this too." I don't think he was on the playoffs on the Warriors. I think they were just terrible that year.
They were awful. Yeah. They weren't even close. They got the number two pick, which came
That's right. Yeah. Good pick. But at the end of the day, you know, this isn't a series that the Lakers can just, like, take losses and battles to win the war, because what this means, you lose game one. This is why I told Aaron last week, you need to win game one, because if you don't, now the Lakers have to win game two. You don't win this series if you go down 0-2. And then after that, you have to take care of business at home, because you don't want to give home court advantage back to Denver. So that means a team that has beat you now 9 straight times, you have to win 3 straight games against, because you lost this one. And this one was right there for the taking. You had a double-digit lead. You had Anthony Davis playing the way that he did tonight. Honestly, I was hoping for more from LeBron in the second half. I know on playback there was you guys were a little bit more patient with him. I didn't like his shot selection. He didn't spend nearly as much time in the post as I thought he needed to. You got Aaron Gordon in foul trouble, and then that you didn't do anything with it. You know, after he came back into the game, you just kind of let him live with the 2 fouls that he had or whatever. And you know, Jamal Murray shot poorly. Like, this game was there for the taking. You had it. You had it right there.
Yeah.
I was, like, thinking they were up by 12. I almost texted Adam the most Denver Nuggets Lakers thing, historically speaking, that could happen is for the Lakers to break the streak in game one of a playoff series. Like, that's how, because historically the Lakers have owned the Nuggets, right? Like, Nuggets fans will tell you they hate the Lakers because the Lakers have owned them forever until recently. And yet, like, you lose this one and you lose it. What hurts is that, look, Denver's great. Denver's the best team in the league. I think they're going to win the championship, but you lost this one, and it feels like you lost it because of errors that you made. Right.
Right.
It feels like the Lakers lost this one. Like, they cost themselves this game by sticking with D'Angelo Russell a little too long, by going away from offense. Tim from Lakers Exceptionalism, right? He does a good job of mapping out their organized offense. In quarter one, when the Lakers built their lead, they ran set plays 67% of their possessions. In quarter two, they ran set plays 55% of their possessions. It's lower, and that was when Denver got back into the game. And then in Q3, Q4, 45% and 39% respectively as the game was being lost. And it was, you know, a return to bad habits, going with this freelancing offense that has been terrible all season. You go back to that starting group at the beginning of the year that was a disaster whenever they were on the court together. The whole reason that you thought that the Lakers would have a better chance in this series is because you figured that Rui would play a bigger role in it earlier. Nope, he gets benched. And you go back to D'Lo, Austin, and Taurean as your 1, 2, and 3 out there. And you make all of these, you keep shooting yourself in the foot often enough, your foot's going to fall off. And you just, and it, like, it, it's just, you just kind of, and you can't do that. Like, Matt, you're fighting a grizzly and you start by blowing off your foot. Like it's just you're not going to win.
Be hard to win. Yeah.
You're not going to win if you're making these self-imposed, you're taking these self-imposed losses.
Yeah, it's funny because like with D'Lo last year, right, we basically got two extremes so far, still a long series, but we got two extremes, right? Last year we got D'Lo really just disengaging and just not shooting at all, and he just decided not to do anything and be extremely passive. And then you got tonight where he said, oh, shoot, last year or last time I was super passive, so this time I need to keep shooting. I need to show that my aggressiveness is there. And it's like, I'm not sure which is worse. Honestly, I'm thinking of the two evils and they're both just evil. So like D'Lo needs to find a middle ground. And you talked about all the parenting stuff, and D'Lo's a very highly intellectual dude. You could tell he speaks basketball that way. You could tell him and AD have a just basketball connection that you could tell on their podcast. So it's interesting that he goes this way. With LeBron, I thought, Anthony, people don't want to hear this, but LeBron just has only so many times he could dip into that tank and pull out. And I thought he did in that first half. Right to start the game, it was attacking the basket, attacking the basket, attacking the basket every time. And it's easy for me, you, and whoever is sitting and watching this, being like, hey, LeBron, keep attacking the rim. That wears him down. That is tiring to keep driving into Jokic, right, driving into Aaron Gordon, driving into even MPJ. And I think he just decided, I'm not going to waste that. We're down 15. If we make a run, we make a run. I'm not saying LeBron threw the game in any case. I think he made a calculated decision that he does to manage that game in a way where he has, you know, legs left in the tank for Monday. So that's why I think he stopped. The running plays with, it's so frustrating because I thought we had to be very precise in how we run our offense. And the sad part, Anthony, is we did. We mismatch hunted correctly. We picked on Jamal Murray. We picked on Peyton Watson when he was on the floor. We picked on Christian Brown when he was defending LeBron in second units. We did a really good job offensively. Like, our offensive process was really nice in that first half. I thought even our defensive process was good. Jokic was cooking. I think he was like 8 for 10 or whatever on Rui, but I liked the shots that we forced him into and how we kind of shut everyone else's water off. No one else was really getting a shot. Jamal Murray was struggling. I think a lot of that was because we kind of forced Jamal Murray to consistently hit the pocket to Jokic. And then we had AD come over and help in a way that I thought was constructive. It's just, Denver threw a punch, man. And, you know, D'Lo went into a shell and then the whole team kind of broke from that. I don't know how you solve that. I don't think benching D'Lo is the answer either. Like, you can't start Gabe in game two. Like, that's D'Lo's too important for what they need. There's just not enough talent on this team for D'Lo to give you nothing and you win. So they're in a tough place, in a rough place, but they're going to have to answer in game two. And good thing it's only a one-day rest. So we'll see on Saturday or on Monday.
Yeah, I do want to spend some time here giving AD his flowers because
sure.
That was like, and look, again, he had that stretch that was pretty frustrating or whatever, where he started shooting threes. And I think there are things that Jokic takes advantage. Like Jokic, you can see like when AD is below the top of the restricted area, when he gets below, like closer to the baseline than the top of the restricted area, watch Jokic like see that he's there, because if Jokic sees that he has a step on AD going down the other way, he flies, right? Like, he really makes it a point to stick his hand out there, you know, get out, run, stick his hand out there like a receiver when they know they have a step on their DB. Like, he really gets out there and goes. And there was a play tonight, it was in the second half, where AD, I think, AD missed a layup that we thought he got fouled on. Then LeBron missed a layup. And then there was kind of a fight for the ball. And the Nuggets wound up getting the ball. And they go out there and they score. And AD like barely crosses half court, right? So like, there were some frustrating aspects of this game. But all like more important than like, because again, the reason the Lakers lost this one is because of D'Angelo Russell. Like, I'm sorry. It just is, you know. You can't have somebody that you know, like who takes that much off of the table without putting much on it. But AD, I thought tonight, like he was getting the ball and going into Jokic's chest on offense, right? He was shooting the mid-range jumper with confidence. He shot the threes. I thought he kind of fell in love with it for a little bit there. But you do still, I like when AD fires up a couple threes because it means that he's confident enough to go out there and get that shot up.